Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. So I love today's motivational quote. I feel like it's spot on for our topic, and it is by Robert Kiyosaki. I probably said that wrong, but he says, "The richest people in the world look for and build networks. Everyone else looks for work." Wow, that nails it for me, right? When we're in networking mode, what we really need to do, I think, is listen. How can we help that contact that we're engaged with? And what connections can we make for them, right? So you go into that giving mode. The funny thing is, most of us are really bad at networking, right? Picture it. You and maybe a couple of your colleagues attend an important networking event where the big players go. You and your colleagues walk in, determined to get at least two business cards. Check. By the end of the evening, each of you probably achieve securing the two new business cards. But what was gained from those business cards or from that interaction or that meeting? Perhaps the most important question is, why did you limit yourself to only two new contacts? Even more importantly, was you and your colleagues' objective to acquire the two new business cards even a good strategy to begin with? And the answer is probably not. A better strategy is probably to meet and have quality conversations with as many people as you can, not just limit yourself to two, but also not anticipate meeting everyone. And then having the action plan of scheduling phone calls or cups of coffee or whatever that is in the next couple of days. Better objective, right? So how do we become networking mavericks? Well, my guest today, Mac Pritchard, is a founder and publisher of Max Lists, an online community for people looking for rewarding, creative, and meaningful work. More than 80,000 people a month visit the site, which includes a job board, a blog, and courses about the nuts and bolts of job hunting, career management, and you guessed it, networking. A leading career expert, Mac helps people who are looking for jobs during all different life transitions, millennials getting their first job, midlife professionals switching sectors, and parents getting back to work after raising a family, and even baby boomers who want to change careers. Mac's also written a book, Land Your Dream Job Anywhere, and he hosts the weekly podcast, Find Your Dream Job. Whew! So please help me welcome my very busy guest today, Mac Pritchard. So Mac, thanks for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Connie.
Yeah, and you've been on before, so I highly recommend anybody who did not hear our show, I want to say it posted in December of 2017, go back and listen. He provided a tremendous amount of insight and information, again, on this whole topic of looking for jobs, networking, and how to use networking even to find your job. So, Mac, I want to start with and do some a little bit of education for the listeners. For the first time in history, right, we have these four generations working side by side in our marketplace. Can you share what are some of the unique challenges that you find both for millennials as well as baby boomers when they're changing careers or looking for a career?
Well, I think for both millennials and baby boomers, there is a challenge that they share, and that's this, Connie. Most of us aren't taught how to look for work. We don't go by the career services office when we're at college, or perhaps don't talk to our guidance counselors when we're in high school. So we learn how to find our jobs through trial and error. And what I see happen with both millennials and boomers is this. Most people, whatever their generation, will get the first couple of jobs, say, through an internship or a recommendation. And so for millennials, for example, that first or second job comes to them that way. And then when they're ready for the third or fourth position, they get stuck because they don't know how to set goals. They don't know how to find and get hidden jobs, and they don't know how to network. And boomers share a similar challenge. I happen to be 59. So people like us often have taken some time away from the workplace, perhaps to raise a family or care for a parent, or we've been with the same organization for several decades. And when we have to make a change, in our 40s or 50s or even later, we struggle because we're like those millennials who have had their first or second or even third job kind of come to them. We haven't, it's been a long time since we've sat down and done the goal setting, done the search, and done the networking, and we may have let our networks wither. And that's a big problem. And I know we're going to talk more about that.
Yeah, it's funny. My son is in college. I have a freshman and a junior. And my older son, he had an internship last year, and he secured one for this year with the same company. They actually asked him back, which isn't always heard of, but he did such a good job, right? They invited him back. Well, one of his friends, he goes to school in Pennsylvania. I'm in Jersey. And one of his friends couldn't find an internship. My son is starting to learn. He's 21. And so he said, I'm going to talk to my mom. So he calls me and he said, Mom, do you think, you know, your network, can you help Steve get a job for the summer, an internship? So I said, you know what, let me reach out to some of the folks I know. Net, I did. He's going to live with me, so I'm going to have three boys in my house. Crazy mom here, right? But
it's going to be a great summer.
It's going to be awesome because he's a great kid as well. But he secured, sent his resume, great resume, did the interview, and he ultimately got the internship. But my son said, Mom, you know, we have to start networking. And he used that word. I was really proud of him. And I said, do you understand that the kids that you're meeting, right? You guys are going to start to go through the ranks as you grow your careers. That's where you're starting your network, because you're all starting in college, but you're going to grow from there into different positions, and you're going to be meeting different positions. And that's how you grow your network beyond what I could do for them, right? Real important lesson, I think, for kids listening to the show or parents listening to the show. We have to start having those conversations with our kids, right? I think, Mac?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I love about your story, about you helping your son's friend get those introductions and get in front of people who were looking for interns, is that it illustrates a principle that applies whether you're a millennial or a boomer or whatever your generation. And it's this, Connie, people hire people they know or people who've been recommended to them by people they trust. And a recommendation alone isn't going to get you a job. And having worked with someone in the past isn't going to necessarily lead to a job offer when a position with that person opens up. But it does get you in the door, and it makes you part of those conversations that are happening when people are hiring. And if you understand that and you build your network to support that, you're going to have a lot more success, not only in your next job search, but in your career throughout your life.
You know what's funny too, Mac? I have clients that come to me that say, hey, Con, we're hiring for whatever. You know anybody? And I always think, you know what? Let me reach out to my network. Let me put it on LinkedIn. But people come to me because they know my work ethic, I think. And because when I do, I've referred to several clients, maybe six college kids that were looking for internships. One of my friend's sons, actually, he was going for his MBA, had the internship, continued to stay in touch with the executive that he reported to, and ultimately got the job at one of my clients now. So that's on him. That has nothing to do with me, right? So you get in, but then you said it. You make the magic happen. I just think that the network is so important, so that now people are coming to me and say, do you know anybody? So you need to make sure you stay connected to people, so that when someone comes to Mac and says, hey, Mac, do you know anybody? You're like, hey, man, let me reach out to my network. Let me see what's going on out there. I'm talking to people all the time. It's just that constant connection going on, I think. I don't know. Is that what you find as well?
Absolutely, Connie. And as you mentioned, I run a job board. I'm in Oregon, so most of our listings are in Washington and Oregon State. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. I'm very proud of the value our job board offers to both employers and job seekers. But most jobs, Con, aren't ever posted. There are estimates out there that as many as 80% of all positions never get advertised. Hmm. And they're part of what's called the hidden job market. And the way you find those jobs and you become a candidate for them is through networking, through having the kinds of conversations that your son's friend had, and that happen when people come to you for recommendations and you make referrals and you make connections. It's not a conspiracy. It happens all the time at all in all kinds, in every field and at all kinds of levels. So our challenge when we're looking for work or we're ready to make a move is to find out about those conversations and make sure that we're part of them. And networking will help you do that.
And you know what's interesting, Mac? I had an experience where, because people I know, like I'll say to them, listen, your kid's graduating or your husband's changing jobs. Send me their resume. Number one, I'll always look at the resume for them and give my input, whether it's valuable or not. I do give my input because I won't pass on a resume that I think isn't up to snuff, right? So I do always look at that before forwarding. But you never know who I'm talking to or again, who approaches me. And this one time, and this is how I don't think you ever should network. So one of my contacts on LinkedIn must have been talking to a friend, and she says, you know, I have this friend, Connie Whitman. Connect with her on LinkedIn and, you know, let her know you're a friend of mine and see what, you know, maybe she can help you. Well, this is what the friend did. She goes, hey, I know Mac, right? He told me to connect with you on LinkedIn. Attached is my resume. You know, can you help me look for a job? I was appalled. And I reached out to the person in my network and I said, hey, listen, you know, I'm always willing to help, especially a young person. That was so inappropriate. They should have reached out to me and said, Con, here's my resume. You know, so-and-so said you're really helpful. If you have the time, could you look at my resume and make any recommendations? And can we have a cup of coffee or a conversation where I could pick your brain to make sure I'm doing everything I should be doing instead of can you help me find a job? Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that needs to happen when you make that contact, and probably the person who wrote to you just didn't know how to do this, is you need to have a specific request. And you mentioned asking for a comment about the resume. I think that's great. Getting together is a good ask. And you also want to have a specific reason for why you want to reach out to that person. Mm-hmm. And it could be, well, somebody said you're a valuable person, you should connect with Connie. But before you send that message, spend some time in learning about that person, mm-hmm. what they do, and think about how specifically they might be able to help you. And that comes back to your goals as a job seeker. There's a reason why it would make sense to reach out to you, Connie Whitman. Maybe it's because you host a podcast and this person wants to work in media. Maybe it's because you're in New Jersey and they want to move to the Garden State. Whatever the reason, that should be the focus of your conversation, whether it happens by phone, over a cup of coffee, or through an exchange of LinkedIn messages. Mm-hmm. Because when you're clear about what you want when you reach out to someone, you make it so much easier, Connie, for people to say yes. Often people who get those requests to meet for coffee might not respond or even say no, because they're just uncertain about how they could be helpful to the person who is contacting them.
Yeah, clarity is just so important. Now,
it is.
Now we're talking about networking, which I just think is such a huge topic, but networking can be used for so many different things, right? We're talking from a job search perspective. Can you tell us how networking can lead to a job or maybe ideas on how people can leverage that?
Well, let's start with definitions. When I think about networking and talk about it, let's put aside the popular idea, which is that you go to the airport Holiday Inn and the winner is the person who collects the most business cards.
Exactly.
Yeah. Networking is about being of service to others and giving as well as asking for help. And there are three ways, Connie, we can do it. One is through what are called information interviews. These are structured meetings like that might happen over coffee or start with a request to pick someone's brain. But in 20 to 30 minutes, you accomplish three things. You share your story. The second thing you get done is get some insights into who might be hiring, what the field is like. And the third thing you do is you get recommendations about other people to contact. Another way to network is to go to industry events in your field. There's an association for every occupation.
Yeah.
And when you go to those events, you want to have a plan in mind for why you're there. And again, it's not just about taking, it's also about looking for ways to be of help to others. And a third way to network is to volunteer, whether it's in your community, your professional field, because when you give your time and to help others or an organization, you're making connections and relationships that can be invaluable to your, both your job search and your career. So I encourage people, when they think about networking, think about those three different approaches. You don't have to do all three, but each of them is invaluable in their own way.
Yeah, and I like the volunteer one because you do meet like-minded people, especially if you find something, like if you're into going to a soup kitchen to give back, you know, in your local county or community. It feels good, right? But you're also meeting like-minded people who doing volunteer work or giving, you know, being of service, that's important to them. So when the job does come up, they're going to think of you because they think, wow, good kid, good person, they give back or what have you. My favorite story with that, and then we'll take a break. I have a friend, he's a CFO now, but when he started, he was installing sound systems in cars before you had all this Bluetooth stuff. And guy came in and would always have this new car, very high-end person, and ran an insurance company, I believe it was, and would come in for a new sound system every time he got a new car. And my friend was there, and they started talking, and he was very diligent, hardworking, and a heck of a nice guy. Well, this guy, the insurance owner, hires him and then took him under his wing, and then through the years became a CFO, and now he's running an insurance company out of Princeton as the CFO, you know. And it started because he was installing a sound system in the guy's car, and they just started chatting, right? His interpersonal skills were excellent. It's funny.
Yeah, and it's very natural. You never know who you're going to meet along the way and where they might end up. And you made this point at the start of our interview. You never know who among your friends, family, your neighbors, these groups are all part of our networks, who might tell you about the job that you want to get. So networks are just invaluable.
They really are. And I know people who have been in jobs for a really long time that they do lose sight of networking because they just do their job. But you should always keep in touch with those that have, you know, come through you, be above you, below you, whatever it is, because you never know when somebody will be able to help you or when you'll be able to help someone else. Let's take a really quick break. And then when we come back, there is so many networking groups to go to. I love your idea about the industry events so that we could stay focused. But even beyond that, there's so many options. How do you pick the right networks to go to? Because you can't just go once. You have to show up and let people get to know you. So how do you choose? And we'll do that when we'll come back.
A speaker has little value to an audience unless you, the listener, is motivated and empowered to change. Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates is a renowned speaker and is an architect of change. Consultations, training, seminars, and speaking engagements are the venues where she affects change. Whether your responsibilities include customer service, sales, marketing, training, executive management, or ownership, and you are seeking change in your organization, then you need to hire Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates. Connie doesn't just fill your ears with rhetoric. She speaks to the heart and success of your business. So next time you need to hire a speaker, don't hire someone that just talks. Hire an architect of change. Connie Whitman. Just ask for Connie by calling 732-888-1420. That's 732-888-1420. Or email connie@whitmanassociates.com.
We're back. We're speaking with Mac Pritchard. He has a book out, and I hope I say it right. You could say it quicker than me. I'm looking at my notes here. Name of your book.
Land Your Dream Job Anywhere.
Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. Thank you for that. And we're talking about just how to always stay relevant, how to find your job. Networking is the thrust of our conversation today. So with all the different options now, Mac, because everybody's networking, everybody's starting up networking groups, how do you find the right one?
I think it comes down to two things, Connie. First is your job search goal. If you are doing a job hunt, where is it that you want to go? It could be a position, it could be a company, whatever that is. Find out where the people who hire those professionals or who work in those companies hang out. And often it's a professional group. It may be an association. It might be a meetup. It might be an alumni group. But it comes back to your goal. The other way to find groups that are going to be helpful to you is think about what excites you. And these could be your hobbies, your personal interests, Maybe you have a passion for volunteering on behalf of a certain issue or community. When you do that and you act on your passion, you're going to be at your best because you're tapping into your energy. And you're also going to make connections that, while perhaps not directly related to a job search or your career, are also going to be valuable because, as you said earlier, you'd never know who knows where you, the people you want to reach. And so I think those are the two best ways to start. You do want to do it with a purpose in mind, whether it's tapping into passion or pursuing a career goal. And when you're clear about that, it gets a lot easier to sort among the thousands of meetups and lectures and volunteer opportunities that are out there.
Yeah, and the meetups, I'm glad you brought that up. So the bottom line, if I understood you correctly, is do some homework before you just start running around like a crazy person joining all these networks, right?
Exactly. And less is more here. It's better to be involved in one or two groups and focus on them so you have the opportunity to develop real relationships with people, because it's the quality of those relationships that are going to both give you satisfaction if you're pursuing a personal interest or a professional one. And it's not, again, about collecting the largest number of business cards or LinkedIn connections or signing up for every meetup in town. It's about focusing on what you want to do and connecting with the people who are in the world you want to be part of. And again, it's about giving to others as well as asking for help.
And it's interesting. Someone recently sent me an invite. I had no idea who the person was. They sent me an invite to join a local networking. So I reached out a couple of my contacts. I said, did you ever hear of this networking group? I've never heard of them. And I didn't recognize any of the names. And the few people that are in my network that I trust that are quality people, they were like, yeah, I never heard of them. I think so-and-so belongs to it. And I was like, you know, if I can't find people that you have to at least know one person in a network, right? That you're a new network from all the networking I do. No, I didn't know anybody in the network. So I thought it's probably not relevant to me because nobody I know is in it. So if it can't be a match, do you know what I mean? So you have to do some legwork and asking around as well to see, is this going to resonate with me and my objectives with my business and what have you as an entrepreneur. So yeah, you got to do the legwork, right? Nothing is ever handed to you, Mac.
No, it isn't. And again, not only do you have to put in the work, but when you do that, your job gets so much easier because you're not trying to be pursue every interest and trying to be all things to all employers. You're focusing on the things that you want to accomplish, and you're going to be much more energetic and effective as a result.
Yeah, and the universe does respond. When you put your efforts towards something with clarity, it usually will manifest itself for you. So
it will.
Right. My next question, I think, is an important one. I bet we have a bunch of introverts listening today. So how can introverts get in there and network? It's much easier for someone like you and I, who are friendly and outgoing, and than someone who is, holy smokes, I have to walk in there and I have to start a conversation.
Yeah, I sympathize. I was very shy in my teens and 20s. And so I know I've experienced the pain you can feel when you walk into a room and the last thing you want to do is walk up to a stranger and say hello. So I think it begins by recognizing that there are a lot of different ways to network and you want to play to your strengths. So if you are introverted and you want to get involved in an organization, think about the things you like to do. So maybe you like to take photographs, Connie, and the organization needs someone to take pictures at a talk or at the annual meeting. You can volunteer to do that. You're doing something you enjoy, and you're still connecting with people from a place of comfort. Another way to do it is to volunteer to work at the registration table. Mm. There you're dealing with people one-on-one. And it gives you a chance to make connections and meet people. But it also, if you enjoy that kind of work, you know, you're going to feel at ease and you're going to be at your best. So think about the things you like to do. And chances are there are volunteer opportunities at an association or an event or in an organization that will allow you to do that the group that you volunteer for is going to be grateful. You're going to be at your best, and you're going to make just as many connections as the people who go up and talk to people just cold.
I love that recommendation, Mac, like work the registration table so that, oh, what's your name? And you give them their name tag or whatever, and you sign them in. And, oh, I'm Connie. It's nice to meet you. Yeah, this is my first time, or I'm new to the organization. And, oh, I look forward to chatting with you further, right? Like a little quick thing. But you're meeting everybody on an individual level, and they have to give you their name.
Exactly. You'll meet more people than the person who works the room and tries to. Yeah. So it's an ideal position to be. And again, you're playing to your strengths, so you're going to be at your best.
You know what else too, Mac, I think, and this is not just for introverts, but we really do need to challenge our comfort zone. So even to me, sitting behind a table, you're almost protected because there's a barrier, right, where you're not just walking the room where you're exposed. So there's a level of protection for those introverts, which I think is a good thing. Plus, you're meeting people one-on-one, which is usually much more comfortable than walking into a huge room of people. So I love that idea. But the bottom line is, even for the introvert to be able to sit at that table and introduce everybody and have them sign in, that's a challenge, right? That's challenging their comfort zone. So I think that we grow whenever we're challenging our comfort zone, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, doesn't really matter. You got to push your limits.
You do. And the great thing about volunteering is when you have an assignment like that, kind of has an energy all its own. So once you sit down behind the table, you're working, and you just get carried along with the momentum of the assignment.
Yeah.
If you're out on the floor there and you have a conversation with someone, then you've got to start the next one, and that can be hard to do. But if you're behind the registration desk, there's someone else standing in line, and I think helping that person, it just has a momentum all its own that's going to make it easier for you.
Yeah, and your job is clear. So it's, yeah, you don't have to overthink it. What should I start this conversation with, Mac? What should I start this conversation with, Connie? You're asking everybody the same thing. So there, you're right, it has an energy, but I have a job to do, and that's easier to ground. I think a lot of people who, and if you've never networked before, even if you're an extrovert, that's a great way to kind of get thrown into the networking, is running a registration table or doing the 50-50s or something where you're actually meeting people because you have something to do.
Yeah. And the other point I'd love to make is about expectations. I think because people don't understand what's involved in networking, get frustrated because they don't know what success looks like. And again, we talked about this idea that success for many people is, when they think about networking, is collecting a huge stack of cards. And that's not the way to do it. So when you go to an event, if you have two or three good conversations, 5 or 10 minutes with someone, different people, that's a success because you're connecting with people in an authentic, real way, and you're building relationships for the long term. Your goal when you go to an event, when you're doing a job search, is to be part of the community, get in front of decision makers, potential hiring managers, so they know who you are. And there are probably going to be opportunities to ask about companies or organizations that are hiring, and to get insights into who might be adding staff. So collecting that kind of intelligence is invaluable as well. These are achievable goals. And sometimes I think people think that if they don't get a job offer, that was a wasted evening. And that's simply not the case.
No, never, never. You meet so many. And the other thing, too, is even if you meet people from other industries, you might be charged up and think, oh, I would love to work in that kind of an industry. You might learn something that you didn't know before you walked in about what is even potentially available in your local marketplace. So, yeah. You know, it's never a waste of time. We're almost out of time, but I do have one more question. And yes, this is dating myself. But are resumes, do you think, still a valuable tool when it comes to job hunting?
Absolutely. And you do need to pay attention to your online presence, Connie, because there's research out there that shows more than 90% of hiring managers Google candidates before they contact them for an interview. So the question you have to ask yourself, if you haven't done it, you should do it, is what will people see when they Google you? And don't stop at the first page. Dig down 3, 4, even 5 pages to see what kind of results pop up. But the resume also matters, because when you apply formally for jobs or you have interviews, it's a document that is still widely used. So you want to make sure it's right. My two quick tips about resumes are these. One, make sure you talk about accomplishments, what you actually did for your past employers, not about roles and responsibilities, because employers hire problem solvers and they want people who can document the results. My other tip is make sure your resume is absolutely error-free, because when hiring managers are picking people for interviews, here's their challenge. They've got 50, 75, 100 resumes in the stack, and they've got to whittle that down to 10 or 15 for phone interviews. How do they do that? Well, one of the ways is they look for typos and errors in grammar and other mistakes. So take the time before you send out a resume to make sure that it is doesn't have any of those errors. Have friends or colleagues read it and say it out loud. That's the best way to catch errors.
Oh, that's true, because when you say it, you think, oh, I didn't write that, and that would be grammatically correct. Or the way we speak and we write the same way isn't grammatically correct. So that's a, yeah. Oh, I never thought of that, Matt. That's a great tip. Read it out loud.
Yeah, our ears are often our best editors.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
And I do like the idea of having friends, colleagues, parents, brothers, sisters, because everybody has a different filter that they're reading from. So they're going to pick up things that they might not understand it, because you know what you're trying to say, but someone else is going to look and say, because I don't know what you did at your previous job, right, Mac? So now you're trying to write and explain it. Now I'm reading it and I go, what did you do? What were you responsible for? What were your accomplishments? So sometimes we need someone to have a different filter to see what you can't see, because you think you're explaining things perfectly, because you know what you know.
Yeah. And we've been talking about networking, which is about asking others for help in your job search. And it's the same with your resume or your applications. When you're doing a job hunt, Connie, you're not in this alone. And so many people think that they need to do it all by themselves, or they're embarrassed to ask for help, or they think others won't help them. People are generous. They will help you. They'll give you time for informational interviews. They'll look at your resume. They'll give you feedback about your cover letters. You've just got to ask. And when you do that, you're going to be a much stronger applicant and candidate than the people who try to do it all by themselves.
Yeah. Is it that life, though, Mac? We just can't do it alone. You just can't do it alone. You need to hire people as an entrepreneur, even though you think, oh, I could do that. But do you really have the time? Shouldn't you be running your business, right? If you're I find this all the time with my clients when we do coaching training, and I'll say to them, wow, can you delegate any of that? And they go, oh, but to train someone, it's just easier for me to do it. And I think, oh, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You know, you got to delegate, because you're never going to get promoted, because you're caught up in stuff that you should be handing off and developing your people. So we really lose track. It's hard to ask for help. I think that's the bottom line. But you have to ask for help. None of us could do it alone. That's really limited thinking, right? You're shooting yourself in the foot.
You are. And you mentioned this earlier. When you share something or ask for help from others, they will see things that will never occur to us. Mm-hmm. And whatever it is we're working on, whether it's a resume, a job application, or a project at work, will be better because of that perspective, because people will just – they have insights that we'll never have.
You know, and here's another thing, and I'm sure you're the same way, Mac. If somebody that asks for help properly, right, and builds a relationship and respects you and all those things. So I had two young people, a young lady, she's 26. The end of last year, she approached me after one of my classes, and she said, I have a really big favor, and if you can't, she said it up beautifully, I have a really big favor, and if you can't, there's no pressure, just say no, and it's all good. And I said, what do you need? Of course, ask me. And she says, will you mentor me in 2018? I have a list of goals, but I'm not clear on how to execute them, and I respect you, and I learn so much every time, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yes, here's the deal, though. I'm happy to work with you. If I tell you to read something and then you don't read it or you blow it off, don't waste my time, because I'm very, very busy. But if you truly embrace this and the recommendations I make, and then we discuss it and we build together, I'm happy to work with you. She's like, I promise, which she has lived up to. She's an amazing young lady. And then I recently had a young man approach me, and he says, you know, I'm into 2018. He goes, I don't have clarity in my goals, Con. Can you help me? And he goes, I promise, I won't be a pest. Can we just maybe have a phone call, half-hour phone call once a month or once every 6 weeks? He said, just because I want to get your insight or your perspective on things. And I'm like, yeah, I enjoy him as well. And I learned a lot from him. Talk about reverse mentoring, which is another whole topic. But see, they ask for help, and it's not a big deal in my time. We talk at night, you know, or in the car. We'll talk while we're commuting. It's not a big deal. But they do what I tell them to do, or I not tell them what I ask them to do. They're in it. You know what I mean? They're not wasting my time. So I think when you ask for help, people will help you.
They will. And again, you need to make it easy for people to say yes to what it is you want.
Yeah.
Think about the specific request. Be clear about it. Often people do begin with, I want to pick your brain. The problem with that is it's unclear what you need help with. So mm-hmm. The more specific you can be, I think the more success you'll have both finding a mentor and networking and learning about hidden jobs that never get posted anywhere.
That was an interesting statistic, actually, the 80% never get posted. I had no idea of that, Mac. That was pretty enlightening.
Yeah, it's an estimate, but I think whether it's 60, 70, or 80%, Con, think about this. How do most people spend their time during a job search? Most people, because they don't know any better, spend 100% of their time looking at job boards like the one I operate. And again, I'm proud of the value it offers. But if as many as 8 out of 10 of the open jobs out there aren't appearing online, then you're competing for 20% of the jobs, and you're missing out on what could be the best jobs in your field.
Yeah, you're looking at 20% of the jobs that 80% of the people are applying for.
Right.
Right? That's the wrong statistic. You want to go
it
the
is.
Other way.
And one question I get from job seekers all the time is, how do I stand out? And one of the ways that you can do that is to do something different than what all the other job seekers are doing. Most people are reluctant to network. They struggle with setting goals. They're not clear about where they want to work or what they want to do.
Yeah.
So they wait to be picked, Con. They do that by looking at a particular job boards, and if they see a position that interests them, they say, well, I could do that, and they send off an application. If they're doing the application right, it's probably taking them an hour or more to put together a slightly custom cover letter and resume. And often when they do that, 50, 75, 100 resumes are coming in for that position. Those are really tough odds. It's easier to get into an Ivy League school than to compete with 100, 150, 200 applicants for a position.
That's mind-blowing.
So it is. I think something like 6 or 7% of applicants get into Ivy League schools. And if you're there, 100 applicants for a position, one person's going to get it. So think about those ratios for a moment. But you shouldn't wait to be picked. If you want to stand out, learn how to get clear about your goals and invest the time in doing informational interviews, going to industry events or volunteering, and then you'll start to take part in these conversations about these jobs that are never advertised, and you'll go in through the back door, not the front door. And there won't be many people doing that, so the odds are going to be much, much better in your favor.
Yeah, it's like a secret door, right? Like a secret panel in the movies where you touch something and the bookcase moves.
Yeah, it is, but it's hiding in plain sight. And
yes,
these ideas that we're talking about are not new. Richard Bowles, who wrote What Color's Your Parachute, was laying these ideas out way back in the 70s, and it's been going on forever. But it's hard work to do if you don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And like any skill, you're going to be uncomfortable at first when you do it. But if you get good at it, you're going to have a lot more success professionally and a lot more satisfaction.
Absolutely. And that, when I graduated college in 83, I read that book.
Good for you.
Yes.
It's like a lot of people don't.
Yes, also first thing I did, like, what the heck do I do now, right? So that's so funny. It's a throwback. Haven't heard that title in ages. You guys, if you'd like more info about Mac, please go to his website, www.maclist, so MACSLIST.org. Email him at mac@maclist.org. And he has a free chapter of his book on his website if you go to maclist.org/change. And the first chapter of his book is there, so you can check it out and buy the book. Very insightful. For those of you looking for a job, don't care what your age is, very informational resource. And it just gives you clarity on what the next step is. Again, planning is just so critical. If you need to reach me, please reach out to me directly on my email, Connie@WhitmanAssoc.com, and go to my second business with my partner, WisdomDecoded.com, and take your free communication style assessment, and you get a little report. So learn about how you're wired, how you think, maybe how you're showing up in life that you don't even realize. So check it out at WisdomDecoded.com. Mac, thank you again for there's so much more to talk about, and I love you for all the insight that you've given, and I really hope it resonates with people that you gave them tangible thing to use. So thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Connie. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Always, as I did in December. Again, go listen to Mac's, the show we did in December. Mac, that was another information-driven show for anyone looking for a job or changing careers, I think was the topic we did. So check that out. So thank you again, Mac, for your time and being a great guest again.
Terrific. Well, it's been an honor.
Thank you so much. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves, challenging our comfort zones, so we all embrace change and realize that change is so much easier than we often think. Thank you for joining Mac and I today. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thanks, everyone. Have a wonderful week. And please be inspired to do something different. And you know what? Go to a networking event that you've never been to before or start networking. Have a great one.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, WhitmanASSOC.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.